flow like agua flow, if you're listening from across the country. Yes, that's
from Spain. If you're listening from Spain, that's agua. Of course, we have Pitbull energy bars here.
Our man Grim.
Take a Pitbull energy
Grim,
bar.
FBI.
Don't break your tooth on it. Oh, that guy's running.
I know you need
like,
energy.
Don't even look at my girlfriend. That guy's running. He's holding
then,
their
and
hand.
And then
he's
she like, turned around like, they're talking about us, honey.
But I want an energy bar.
I just wanted to give you a Pitbull.
What's your...
Next thing you know, you're homeless and you're cold like us.
That's the finger she likes.
Of course, enough respect to people who can survive through this. This is really cold weather.
People,
like I said, we're only here for... Oh, he fingered us?
Yeah, he gave us the finger.
What?
That's the finger she likes.
Yo, there's
I'm sorry, man. I'm not smelling it.
There's 10 of us here. Only 2 of you. Come on.
Okay, it is
logical.
Cold. Of course, quite often we speak our minds here on Off the Hook.
And that's what it's about.
I just want you to remember that none of the opinions are
expressed
ours.
Expressed by Off the Hook.
Or CKUT, except for in the case of when we're out here supporting homelessness. Like, we mean what we say. It's cold out here. Peace out to you guys. It's not always your fault. Remember that, people. I said it before. If you just tuned in, I want you to listen closely. It's not always easy to get out of. It's an endless loop that you will get stuck in living out here on the streets, and you can't even get welfare. So
The streets is.
It's cold.
Once again, if you're listening from across the country, you know we're broadcasting on 35 stations.
I have done them all from BC. We have one station left, one last
what
station
is that?
That's
CKT?
Live right now. Drum roll, all the way out in Newfoundland. Of course, it's cold there, too.
Oh, yeah.
And they have homelessness. CHMR 93.5 FM. That's Memorial University of Newfoundland. That's in St. John's with an S.
With an S.
Once
peace
again,
out to all you stay there.
1-866-763-4136. If you want to call us toll free from across the country, maybe you want to get on a little rant about homelessness or just talk to us here on Off the Hook Radio.
Of course, the first 45 minutes felt like 3, but now this last 20 minutes is starting to feel like a really long time.
It's actually
and I am actually very, very happy, and I feel very privileged that I get to go home and sleep
in a warm bed. 9 minutes
left. Yes, the official clock says that. Yes. I think it's actually slowed down. It's so cold out here. Time
yeah,
has stopped.
I think so.
Sign language is here. They came in. They are still sitting here on the mic. What do you guys have to say? What do you guys have to say? Do you see any homelessness in your town? You're from across the water, right?
Yo, like, we don't see as much over there, but, like, still, like, over here, it's like a,
what do they do over there? They kick you out of town or what?
They throw you in the river.
Because Chattagay, I'm not
throw you
sure.
Over to Green Bridge.
There's probably homelessness, but I don't think.
But then you gotta walk. You gotta walk through the res to get to the city.
Oh.
Yep. Unless you go through Valleyfield.
But now, just one thing I wanted to say, though, like we're talking about people that are homeless and stuff, there's also people who have like mental like illnesses and stuff,
Yeah.
Like, they have like some problems too, Like we all got to put in our part, volunteer and like help out people and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're talking about the fact that a lot of homeless people are in that sort of situation.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. They get dumped off and then, yeah.
Yeah. And
it's like that movie.
It's
the propaganda movie there with the fat guy with the Roger and Me. And
Roger and Me?
Yeah, Roger and Me.
Of course. That's
Sicko or whatever.
Yeah.
They touch on that subject.
That's
in that
Michael Moore film, of course, about healthcare in America and France.
And Canada.
A bit about Canada, too. Of course, the healthcare system does screw people over. And you can end up homeless and just because of your situation, like you said, with mental illness, for instance.
Yeah.
And it is not something that you can just climb. It's a hole that you cannot climb out of quite often. Of course, the mental illness marathon, that's another day. But we'll be here for that, outdoors as well. Of course, we are supporting homelessness by being homeless for this hour. But I won't even try the joke about the homeless marathon again. No one got it. I'll be running by soon. I wonder if they're wearing shorts. Like, it's just a stupid question.
I want to, speaking of the cold, I want to send a shout out to LCC Hockey Arena.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cold there,
it's going to be gone, so.
They're taking it down?
They're taking it down and building a new place. So I just thought about the cold. And
nice. Is it going to be a new arena?
Yeah, it's going to be indoors and big, high million-dollar facility. And
nice.
But the place they have now, ice cold. Forget it.
Outdoors.
Outdoor hockey.
Like us. We are live on the block. Here, have an energy bar, please. Stay warm. Don't break your tooth on it. They're frozen. We're supporting homelessness out here.
Take out your friends.
De rien, merci à vous. Don't be shy. Support a homeless person if you can in any way, shape, or form.
Once again, 90.3 FM in Montreal. We're on the corner of Saint Laurent and Ontario And don't forget.
Hold on.
We're going to continue on. We have, as it is, open mic for the hour. We do have more guests. We have another
caller.
Who we have on the line? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Okay, Raw Roadrunner from Montreal.
Roadrunner.
What can I do for you? What's going on?
Okay, I have a poem, actually two poems. One, first of all, is for the people on the street. It's called Self-Sacrifice.
Keep it
and
quick.
And if I have time, I've got one for everybody concerning life on the street. It's called Life's Ladder.
Let's all right, do this. Keep them short. We only have a few minutes left, and we got some people to talk here, so go.
Okay, I'll do the short one then. The first one for the people on the street.
Yep.
Called Self-Sacrifice. That potent word, self-sacrifice, holdeth it the key with which to open wide the door. With this I agree. It means the severance from all, wherein the most drink. For in this loneliness there's room where I sober think. For as I move on, brighter grows that light as it draws, like magnet draws to itself, steel which has no flaws. The road of all resistances few men ever take. Yet thereon, I believe, resides the best in life's fate. For another region comes to view, where one is at home, uncrowded as where dwells the mass, plenty field to roam. Then gather things that are unknown for the absentee, but when presented to them all, you will hear their glee. Ah, this always noiseless region, one is there alone. It's fascinating to extreme, great things there are shown, in varied beauty all their own, still in pristine state, no cruel feet thereon have trod. This is truly great. In tarnished scene of noiselessness, ponder I alone. O man, how much is missed by thee? Wisdom's ways are shown. A true picture here is given of things in my world. Heritage of each in measure, the best to unfold.
Thanks a lot,
right
man.
On,
that was
man.
Really
okay,
touching.
Guys.
Thanks a
Hold
lot.
Hold it down. Take care of yourself.
You can hear your dog.
Go pet the dog.
Go pet the dog. We hear him.
Yeah, my dog stinks.
Yeah. Well, I think he heard your voice over the air and was a bit weirded out.
Don't worry.
Thanks a lot for calling. Keep it
Once
solid.
Again, it's open mic. We're finishing up here Off the Hook Radio. We have another guest on the mic here on the street.
Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Michael. I'm a university student in Montreal, and I got to say, I come from a very privileged position, right?
Right.
But I got to say, at the same time, I've been working with homeless people for 5 years in shelters and drop-in centers.
Good for you.
And I meet a lot of people on the street that say, I have had experience in university, or I want to have experience in university, and I just can't afford it. And you look at the situation in Quebec right now, or the situation anywhere in Canada where they're increasing tuition, they're making it harder and harder for any person who's, you know, say you're receiving welfare. You can't get into university. That's not fair. We need to create a kind of society. We're talking about systemic change here, where people can, you know, get up off the street, get an education, and find a functional role in society. And our social system is not making that possible right now. So we got to envision a situation in which every person can get into the educational system and better themselves and find a way to include every single person that wants to get up to another place in society, right?
Right.
So that's all I got to say. Make education more accessible for everybody, whether you're on the street or whether you come from a privileged family.
No doubt. That's a very good point. Of course, battling homelessness is not an easy thing to do. It's a very tough hole to climb out of. Of course, don't forget, until you do find a way to solve that, you can always head down to the library. They're free, and you can educate yourself, and please educate yourself, because otherwise you will stay in the loop of not educatedness.
We're coming up on the last 7 minutes or so of the show. Off the Hook Radio, 90.3 FM. We're 11 years deep in this. We've been doing this show a long time, and we're always eager to be involved in anything going on with CKUT, whether it be the homeless marathon, whether it be the annual fundraising or what have you. Once again, 1-866-763-4136. We'll take maybe one last call if someone wants to call in from across the country. Once again, we're broadcasting live over 35 stations.
We have to send shout-outs to
Canada.
All the CKUT, especially volunteers.
Yes,
who
everyone
help out
here getting cold, just
Logic
like
Johnson
us.
Johnson looks cold. Warm, even though he has about one-third the clothing I have on right now. Not to say that he's not wearing any clothing.
Apparently, that's
bundled.
The trick.
He's wearing the skin of a cow.
Nothing. He's fine, yeah. He's got his armor on. Support homeless.
You ever seen a cow shiver?
I have one.
You ever seen a cow shiver in cold?
Don't break your tooth on it. Don't break your tooth on it.
Yeah.
No.
Eat it in the next 2 days. Who's this?
This is Kid Vicious, man, here to battle the homeless and come bring them back under the shelter of the light.
Now, let's do this.
We're done with the rapping, but if you want to make a statement, we'd be more than happy to hear something.
Okay.
No rapping.
Or you can call me at 632-EAT-IT.
Here we go. Love's a state of mind that's hard to find. So if we do, we got to be true. Leave the rest
behind. You said no rapping.
Because the truth will hold the fine. Well, people, everybody out there in this world, when you see someone cold, you got to bank them warm. Because, you know, we're all on one planet, one globe, as MTL represents for Montreal. We always stand tall. Together, we could stand, but divided, we fall. So whenever the stuff gets tough and you feel like you've had enough, just roll together with a tight bro and your family and stay together, because that's the only true way to brave the stormy weather.
Right on.
Thanks a lot, man.
Always.
My name is DJ Buddha Blaze. Of course, our man from Flim Flam. They have Mysterioso, Man in the Mirror, Guzzlin.
He's the Signified Monkey.
Guzzlin,
I'm drinking ginseng oolong.
Yeah, ginseng oolong.
Of course, my name is Revolution. And Grimm is here.
Grimm,
yeah,
FBI.
Logic Johnson holding it down.
We'll be back.
Andy. Peace out,
Andy's
Andy.
In the place.
Andy. You're a brave man. It
sign
is cold
language
out here.
In the house.
Winter this year.
Logic Johnson in the house.
They're signing out.
Grimm, FBI in the house.
Thanks out to Gretchen and the rest of them inside, right? Thanks a lot, you guys. Oh, thanks out, you CKUT people. Oh, sorry, there she is right here with us. Out here. For brave.
Now, we'll be back next week.
Of course.
Regular scheduling from midnight till 2 for the best in under independent hip-hop. But, of course, this will be going on all night long.
We'll love to educate
and inform everybody about homelessness.
Peace out.
And death is for the
birds. At the station right now, making sure that this feed is running well.
Hell is
we're
for
on the
children.
Corner of St. Lawrence, St. Laurent, and Ontario as the Native Friendship Center.
Yeah, so we'll be here all night, so when we get up and leave the mic, there'll be someone else sitting in these seats.
So if you're listening in, drive by, come on by. We got tons of pit bulls to give you.
Off.
I'm not talking about the dogs.
Straight off
of course, that last 2 minutes took 12 minutes. It's really cold out here right now. It is, though, regardless of whether you're cold or not. It is cold out here.
Hey, are we?
I'm lying. Let's just say it is cold out here.
Are we allowed to make a fire in a garbage can?
I wish we could. There's a garbage can right there. Maybe we can turn this into the Bronx.
Is this like a Star Trek episode where, like, time is stretching out and, like, 2 minutes turns into 12 minutes?
Yeah, it's like the Seinfeld episode. The opposite of the Seinfeld episode where the week is actually only tomorrow.
Groundhog Day.
Like Groundhog Day.
It's like, it's only like 2 days.
Yeah, it's only like 2 days.
Today's already done. And then the weekend doesn't count. And then, you know, tomorrow's only like half a day.
It's getting existential out here.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to wrap it up pretty much, eh? We're about to wrap it up.
So,
won't live forever. Oh, but we'll catch up again someday.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Here we go. yes, yes. You are exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juicebox Radio, CITR 101.9 FM. Don't touch that dial. We realize there's been a long, long, fabulous bunch of programming for Homeless Marathon that's happened, and this is the first of the live and juicy, fresh stuff that's happening in the box right now. Thank you so much for that amazing programming. We weren't listening to it.
So. But we were experiencing the homeless. Julia actually rescued me. By the way, it's Julia Saunders and Caroline McGillivray hosting Juicebox Radio if you're just tuning in now. And if you are interested in homelessness, you can check out Beauty Night Society, which is where we were tonight, where we were doing makeovers and taking care of women who were celebrating check issue, otherwise known as Welfare Wednesday tonight, and making makeovers for them, making them feel really good and really healthy because it's good for self-esteem to reintroduce touch in a non-threatening way.
And also to have them be beautified. I think that's also something that you do, that women, we've created this way of being that involves beautification and cosmetics and surgery now. It's become a big part of our beautification process. But I think, you know, we've created this society for ourselves. And Caroline, I think you really help women to understand, to get an experience about how important that is and how it makes a person feel better, you know? Like, I don't know. I'm not eloquating it very well right now, but I feel very strongly about what you do. And yes, I did pick you up from another beauty night, and you do such hard work for homeless people and people that are disenfranchised. Is that one of the
marginalized and disenfranchised
and amazing work you do, and very honored that you serve the people of this city as you do. And Toronto also gets a taste of your hard work, and they created their own Beauty Night Society there. And
I launched it there.
You've launched it there. You have people that are supporting that.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you.
Please speak more to that, because I sit on the board, but I'm feeling very reclumped about it right now. And
well, we're going to change that and get you out there volunteering and what a difference it makes. What I found really interesting, you know, how you're saying in terms of women needing to feel beautiful. It's true, we do. We all know what it feels like. We wake up and you have a bad hair day, or going to the hairdresser and somebody's gently massaging your scalp. All that stuff's really important, especially for women who do not have access to those services.
If we could skip the mirror every day, we wouldn't even think about these things, really. But we have these mirrors. We have people around us that expect us to kind of look good, and we know that compared to others that we aren't kind of keeping up, and
it can, the Joneses.
Yeah, and it can, well, I don't know, it feels, yes, and it feels it can feel very, it can lower self-esteem to be like, wow, I don't look as good as that person, or I don't have the ability to dress and or look that way. So you provide, one of the many services that Beauty Night Society provides is this incredible beauty nights, and then they makeovers and nails and hair.
Nails, hair, makeup, skincare, pedicures, which we're actually have nursing students doing that, checking the bottoms of the feet for foot abscesses, which is usually a symptom of diabetes too.
Mm-hmm.
So just health, a little bit of health care. A dental hygienist down there sometimes volunteering, teach them how to brush the teeth properly. So we do a little bit of healthcare mixed in with all the literacy, the personal development, all the job preparation.
So good.
All the good stuff.
Nutrition. So good.
Thank you, darling.
It's good.
It's interesting, though, about what you're saying in terms of beauty. The beauty's quite profound all through history. One of the things, actually, Tanya Diamond, because I had the pleasure of taking her to her workshop this weekend.
Yes. Tell me about that.
I will. Actually, what was really interesting was she said, and I think this is true, women need to feel adored. And you know how we fish for compliments? Honey, do you like what I look like? I don't know, baby, blah, 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 blah. All that
does
kind of stuff.
Does it in these pants?
Exactly. We need to be adored, and you're banging things. I like the fact you're bumping and grinding things, but yes, you know better. Not here, not now. But back to Tanya Diamond, what she pointed out was the fact that throughout history, you know, back in the old days, men used to basically pick women because of what they look like, and they'd basically drag drag them back to the cave.
The juiciness,
the
long, thick hair, the curves. You know, some body fat in certain places had to be.
But it was based on how we
juicy.
Looked. And yes. With that, that's what it's one of the reasons why women are really particular about how we look. And that was one of the interesting things that she kept going back to, which women need to feel they're adored and men need to feel that they're trusted. So I thought that was really interesting. It was a really, really, really great workshop.
So what was, besides those highlights that you've spoken of already, what were some of the other points, like what did you get out of Tanya Diamond's work this week? Your work, it sounds like, as well, this weekend. Everyone hates the word work, but I'm sorry, let's be real. You're not just sitting in front of the couch and relaxing and eating bonbons. Like you're, you know,
no, it was definitely...
you're making an effort strategy in the world.
Okay. Thank you. There was some really amazing people at the workshop who actually participated. A few yoga instructors, a few married women, single men. It was really lovely. I think one of my favorite parts, which was probably one of the most challenging parts for a lot of people, was basically the sexual healing, which took place on the Sunday because it was a two-day workshop.
I meant to
afternoon.
Be there on that. Yeah, I didn't come, yeah.
It was pretty amazing where normally when you do a sexual healing, according to Tanya, you basically insert your finger up to somebody's G-spot in terms of if it's a woman and around the prostate if it's a man. But with this, of course, everything was done with clothing on, and you made sure you got permission in terms of touch with everybody, and we partnered up. And it was really interesting because she had us make a list of all the things we wanted to get rid of, and for some people with things like self-hatred in terms of things like women not liking, say, what their lips look like down below, guys not thinking their penises are big enough, those types of things, as well as things like if anybody had any STIs, that was a big issue with one person I can think of in particular. You know, just that self-hatred where, you know, the STI was a reason in terms of not getting on with life and finding somebody that was really important to them. So I thought that was really neat. There were all sorts of great things. But the bottom line was what she pointed out was it all has to do with living in fear. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of that, what she pointed out was all of them had to do with fear. So perhaps that this sexual healing should be about just getting rid of fear out of the life. And
out of your experience as a person, you mean?
Yeah, as much as possible. And it was
very
really
important, obviously.
Very.
I mean, fear is like what keeps women from orgasming. And interestingly enough, it makes men come faster.
So it's sort of, true.
There's such huge gender differences on so many levels as far as our biology goes. We've been kind of trying to bring it up to homeostasis or some kind of balancing act that we've trying to do in the last 100 years or 50 years especially. But we have such biological differences working with us and against us. So, but yeah, definitely that.
It was really interesting. there was a lot of healing that went on.
Fabulous.
What was also interesting was a girlfriend of mine who took the workshop with
me.
Yeah,
your friend. Right. I was supposed to be there. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
so you had a friend. Was she in the sex detox program?
Yes. I
had a feeling there was somebody with the sex detox that ended up breaking her detox. For Tanya's work, and I think that I think maybe it was worth it. So what happened with that?
Well, she said that she actually got to put it in practice in terms of...
what she was learning in the detox, you mean?
No, what she was learning in Tanya's workshop.
Okay.
Which Tanya always went back and forth in terms of the breath. It was always about starting with the breath and focusing on breath. So this friend of ours, who you know quite well as well, she was recommending that she's actually going to be talking about it, I think, at some point. We should have on the show, which would be very interesting. Although she did
all of
her sex detox, which we will talk about that in a moment.
We're going to have all of our sex detox participants on the show eventually, hopefully together with Dr. Ian Kerner. We will be doing that, even if it's in April or May. It doesn't matter.
Definitely.
It's
which, listeners, if you are interested in being part of the sex detox, which promises to be to recharge desire, revitalize intimacy, and rejuvenate your love life, which are all seem like some pretty amazing things.
Very important.
And according to, in just 30 days, you'll experience love, sex, and intimacy as you've never imagined it. Sex detox. I love the fact that detox has a heart instead of an O.
Well, you know, I've looked at this book a little bit. I've thought about this whole program. I think, well, you know, if you love your vice, if you're a bit of a hedonist like myself, why would you want to give it up? It's like, why,
because
you know,
it'll make it even better.
Okay, well,
I hear you, Caroline.
And I just, I also want to say to the people out there, those of you who feel a bit reticent to join us in the detox of sex, you think, well, Juicebox is a sex show. Why are you doing this? Like, you can't have sex for a month. Because there are so many benefits to taking away your vice in the way that you see it, the way that you've experienced it, like doing it too much for the wrong reasons or for feeling guilty about it or whatever the things are that are going on for you around that particular pleasure center that you're getting kind of tapped into. If you can sort of remove yourself from the buttons and the triggers and the things that create you indulging in it in the ways that you feel either indulgent or guilty or whatever it might be in your sex issues, a new framework, a new outlook on things will lend a lot of insight and a lot of maybe growth and healing and gosh knows, I mean, openings and new possibilities. Pleasure, love, God.
Yeah, I think.
Stuff like that. Pretty big stuff. I mean, go for it, right? It's like, wow. So, yeah, that's why I think you should sign up. I probably should, too.
Well, I've found it's pretty good so far. And
did you break it yet, Caroline? How have
I've
you been doing
on
it?
Pretty good.
Good. For 2 weeks now.
Yes.
So Caroline, our renowned and beautiful Caroline McGillivray of Juicebox Radio, is doing the detox. She's been successful for 2 weeks. I personally have not been. I've not been trying, though.
But you started it, Julia.
Maybe so. I'll start it on Friday.
I find that very interesting and very intriguing.
There's a certain someone listening that might understand. So maybe on Friday I'll start it, and then 2 weeks later he'll get back and we'll be on one together. Okay.
So, in regards to the sex detox, though, one of the things I did want to touch and just bring back into that, one of the reasons I think it's important is I think it builds up anticipation and arousal.
Okay. So what, did Tanya talk about that, or is this your own?
I think in general, Tanya talked about in terms of living in arousal, and she spoke a lot about that in her workshop. And I think
not getting what you want, then it sounds like, not sort of giving into your lower nature impulses.
What she suggested, and I like that in terms of Tantra, and our friend that did break the thing, I found it really interesting in terms of that it was all about the breath work, where one of the things with the Tantra, and the more I'm finding out about it, I think I actually had a couple partners who've tried that with me before, and I didn't really understand what they were doing. But
tried breathing with you?
The breath work and basically
the breathing with
slowing
you.
It down. Yeah,
okay.
The breathing,
oh, really? Okay.
And doing one thing at a time, where one person does something and the other person lets them do
like
it.
Like the swirling around of the something personal body part, and then the other person just like lets it happen?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, or like if I leaned in to kiss you, Julia, and I ran my tongue along your lip, you'd let me do that.
Instead of trying to swallow your tongue?
It's pretty much.
Give me that tongue! My usual MO.
But in regards to that... You're so good. Distracting me, love. You're cracking me up.
Okay.
But living in arousal is one of those things that I think is really important, number one. Number two, in regards to sex detox, I think it's really good to be aware of patterns, because not only there's one part of that that's great for couples. So couples, if you're part of a couple and you two want to be part of this workshop, please just write to us at Julia at Juicebox Radio, and that would be great. We will need to get a couple more single people, because I don't really want to indulge divulge about my personal life on there. But I do want to have some more listeners doing that. That'd be really wonderful. And I think it'd be a really wonderful healing experience because we're Juicebox is a sex-positive show. So we want to make sure you have the best. So if you're having really negative patterns in terms of dating really unhealthy people, which is no comment, but it's very important to take care of yourself. And by breaking patterns, finding out what your triggers are, as Julia said earlier, basically going through that, there's some wonderful exercises both for couples as well as singles to break that so you can have a happier, healthier life and be making positive choices in terms of what you decide to do and really enjoying sex after that the way it should be enjoyed, where it's not just a big rush doing sex because you're supposed to or you have to, or just where it's all about just like genital friction, where it's actually about... it's about love, and it's about the big, deep stuff, the big, wonderful stuff that we dreamed about when we were, like, kids. Well, once we knew what sex was, that is.
Well, Dr. Ian Kerner, on, like, day 30 of the of sex detoxes, he talks about, think about what it means to truly be a sexual person. And when most people talk about being sexual, they're usually thinking about sex in a very superficial way. They're referring to the number of sexual partners they've had in the past, or think being a sexual person means they have to like to have sex a lot and or they need it often, or they simply love having orgasms. But being a sexual person is more than just liking sex. Being a sexual person means that you're willing and able to communicate proactively about sexual issues with your partner, with your friends, your whoever it's important to, your doctor. That you're committed to the spirit of ongoing sexual creativity in your life, whatever that might be. And that you sustain your sexual fitness, which I think is really important personally, and that you live a sexually healthy life, and that you're aware of past experiences that may be impairing your full enjoyment of sex, that you have empathy for your partner or his or her issues, and that you recognize that sexual desire will ebb and flow across your life cycle no matter what, and that sex changes. So, and he says, he goes on about other things. All very important points, all things that I've talked about a lot on Juicebox, actually. And critical that we understand that sex will change. Doesn't matter in the moment, in the month, in the year, in the partner. But that, you know, taking responsibility for where you're at, critical part of having an enjoyable sex life. Bottom line, I don't know if that was very profound or interesting, but that's my two pieces on that. We have so many things we want to talk about tonight, but yeah, Caroline, what?
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's interesting that we're talking about that in terms of sex, in terms of the detox. And Julia's just covering her face going, Caroline, I can't believe you said that on air. But one of the things I did want to say is... it's interesting how you mentioned sex changes. It's changed a lot since I know I lost my virginity when I was 18 years old. And it's
wow, you're
changed.
A late bloomer.
I was a very late bloomer. It's changed a lot for me over the years. There's definitely a different richness to it now.
Richness?
Yes, now that I know what I like. And
getting to know what you like is very important.
It's very important. I think it's it makes it more enjoyable, and I can ask for what I want, which is lovely.
Yes, and you can ask for what you want. And it makes it more enjoyable, and you can ask for what you want. Very key points.
One of the things, though, in terms of sex, which I found really interesting, was the when we about February 7th, we went and saw Sue Johansson speak. And she was talking about high school in terms of her elementary school, in terms of sex education. And I found that really, really interesting. Julia, I haven't been to sex ed for years in terms of in school. How would you describe, like, when you go into a school to teach?
Well, I don't teach the puberty education.
Okay.
I tend to try to teach sex positive stuff, and puberty education is all about, oh my God, you're in puberty, it's going to be brutal, and then you have to be like, this is going to be all weird and stuff, and this is going to change, and then you're going to start to bleed, and if you haven't already, most girls have already started bleeding 4 years before they get their education. It's very ridiculous. It's not. It's way too late, way, way, way too late. Too little, too late, which is the biggest problem with it, as it was with when we were growing up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I teach grade 10, 11, 12.
Okay.
And I teach them mostly how to communicate about sex and how to get more of the sex they want and less of the sex they don't want.
Okay, and how do you do that?
It's really, you know, it's really about boundaries.
Okay.
It's about, you know, which can be a family thing. It can be a cultural thing, a religious thing for a lot of people, a lot of young people. Friends, you know, what your friends are doing. So mm-hmm. if you're in kind of one of those schools where people are having more sex than usual or whatever, it's kind of a free-for-all, more sex-positive or pressured-filled school, mm-hmm. then you're kind of forced to do it earlier than you maybe would feel comfortable doing it. So it depends on the school. It depends on the family. It depends on the community. And I have to take all that into account. So really what your question is it really depends on the audience.
Okay.
So it's important that it's sensitive to where the students are at, what age group they are at, where their development is at, and mm-hmm. I have to kind of gauge that by looking at, you know, the geographical area, the socially economic status of that area. There's a lot of things to contemplate. It's not an easy question to answer, but I tend to do sex-positive education and teaching them how to communicate about whatever it is whether it's a no mm-hmm. or whether it's a use a condom or whether it's everything above the waist is okay. Whatever it is, you know, I try to teach them how to actually talk about it.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I go, but now, I don't know if that answers your question. I love these questions you spring on me. I'm just like, sorry. Oh my God, no, it's fine. Well, I deserve it. I've been on your side of the bench for a lot of years, so.
Well, no, I was just curious because of the fact when we went and saw Sue Johansson, one of the first things she brought up was the fact that people...
There is no good comprehensive sex ed.
Well...
Really, and these kids that come to university have none. That's what she was talking about. She's like, this is going to be everything that you didn't learn in school, that they didn't teach you. That was her opening line, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was just curious because I don't remember having to... She was talking about the female reproductive system and it looking like a diagram of a moose, basically.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting because I don't remember that in sex ed, having to actually color code in like where my ovaries were or mm-hmm. where the vulva is and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Perhaps I'd know the vulva was in the vagina, which I didn't know, remember?
Well, yeah, yes. Well, you know, the vulva is different than the vagina for sure.
Do you remember doing that, though?
Well, thing is that she's a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about Sue Johansson is that she's a nurse, and so she comes from that kind of health nurse background where, for her, that's what they do in biology class. In biology class, you do get the moose picture, and you do color things in sometimes. Who knows? I don't know what they do in science class. Some teachers, some schools decide to let it just go with that. More importantly, it's the parents that need to be
educated.
Doing it. Is it time for a break?
What? No, I was just going to ask, is it, in regards to that, are you finding when you're getting them in grades 10 and 11 and 12, when you're doing education, were they taught when you've asked them, like, I don't know how that works, were they getting the moose thing beforehand?
Well, what I normally do is I throw up a line drawing mm-hmm. of the internal body parts, and then if they... if they're like, oh, so then I'll just quickly put, what's this, what's this, what's this? Mm-hmm. And if they still don't know or they cannot say the word ovary, I'll ask them, well, what is it? So it's like a 10-minute exercise in an hour and a half class, right? But it's more me to enable them to feel comfortable talking about sex, for them for me to gauge whether they've had any kind of previous education. So, is this turning into the sex ed show?
It's about Sue Johansson sex educators.
I think that she was interesting because she did talk about one of the things that's often not talked about. Just recently, in sex ed in the schools is around talking about labia and clitorises and things like that.
Mm.
That's sort of totally new. I mean. The penis, the testicles, all that stuff was always sort of in there
mm-hmm.
because men are the ones that gauge most of the health education in the curriculum of North America and like the science projects that were done in North America and Europe are all male driven. So,
interesting.
You know, female anatomy has sort of been kind of a dark, curious secret that nobody's really understood or cared to the look into because we don't can't see it on the outside. And so there's this menses thing and this moon thing. And, well, you know, you women can just take care of it and stuff. So there's like a males rule the world. And so they kind of the ones that dictated what was studied in science and what has been teaching and taught in the schools today and what is still being taught and what is still curriculum.
Which that still follows that through in adult life, I suppose, which is why there's so many different types of things like Viagra and things. And for women, even though there's supposed to be a female version of Viagra, you don't hear a lot about that, even though it's very difficult. And you hear a lot about women who aren't able to orgasm.
I think that Viagra is built purely on the fact that males have developed erectile dysfunction over time because they've been circumcised. So the circumcision has reduced their glands, penis, the top of their head, to be just a minute. She's shaking her head at me. Hold on a minute. Let me finish my thoughts. So the glans penis, its skin is not meant to be exposed to air and friction, and it has been over time. So because men are living to be, you know, 80 and 90 years old, the penises are failing at sometimes 40, at 50, 60, because the glans has been exposed. So Viagra is purely, I think, been created to help with the erectile dysfunction that is almost 75% because of circumcision. My opinion. I've been deriving it over a lot of research and a lot of compiling of things, and since I now have my master's, perhaps my PhD might be about that. I'm not sure. But I do know for sure that the research is starting to become more and more clear that we shall stop cutting off the foreskin of our young boys. If we hope for their cocks to work until they die, or close to when they die, 10 years before they die, something.
Oh, my! I was wondering, though, if that's why would they put a lot of money into something like Viagra, whereas if men couldn't have orgasms, for example.
Perfect, exactly.
I have this feeling if they went through history the way women did and they were the ones ruling the world, we probably would have something for female orgasm to make females orgasm. So what do you think about that?
Well, yes, and I think, you know,
if men had had to bear babies, I think we probably would have had some more things to help with the pain of childbirth.
Well, you know, gynosapiens, as I like to call them.
Gynosapiens.
Yes, not homo sapiens, but gynosapiens.
Gynosapiens.
We are the ones that had to birth this unusually large head that sort of started to come out of our bodies and started killing us and made labor very painful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is, I don't know how many thousands of years ago, but that kind of changed the sex of the world into one where women had to sort of say no, because we derived the fact that if I have sex now, it means I might die in 9 months. And so men don't have that kind of understanding about the potential for death. And so I think that there's something that really changed, you know, back when man started standing up on man and woman, started standing up on their own 2 feet and doing things. And all of a sudden women were like, because if we didn't, I mean, we're animals too. We're horny as hell. We like to have sex a lot. Who's kidding who? But we also, I think back in the day, something changed. Before all of this, the church has started to say, oh, it's bad for women to be like this. And if you know, you're a slut and you're a heretic, whatever they called us back in the day, and made women all be like, oh, we have to be good and chaste, you know, make sure that we're keep the legs closed and all that. I think it actually predates the fact that we started to realize that sex equals death. If we have sex, we could die in childbirth because there's this huge head that we have to birth. Mm-hmm. And birth is very painful and potentially deadly. So sex is no easy idea for us, and nor has it been for tens, thousands of, I don't know how many years we've been gynosapiens. So I think there was something that switched there.
Okay.
How I got on this topic.
Just in regards to whether or not if men were the ones who are having to give birth to babies.
Orgasms.
And orgasms.
Women. So
bottom line is if basically men and women's roles were reversed in sense.
If they were reversed.
Men still had the power, do you think there'd be more money being put into research
for women,
having orgasms for women and having less pain during childbearing?
Let's just try to imagine. Okay, I could answer your question in a certain way, and then I'm thinking, well, wait. Let's just imagine this certain world where, like animals, women, women, 1 week out of every month, we're like these insatiable animals where we're like, fuck us, like mad, doesn't matter. There's no social construction of anything, just fuck us anytime. And for men, they see this rotating world of women. Once a week, there's a new bunch of women that are like interested in fucking them. And so then they have this free will of these women. And the women are like, yeah, let's take me, take me, take me. And for the other 3 weeks out of the month for these women, they don't have to worry about anything. Like being nice means that you're going to, you know, expect that I want to have sex with you, or, and we are able fully to take care of our children if there's any offspring from what we choose to do in that week. I mean, if you could just imagine the world today as humans being actual animals that still exist as they do today, animals as they are, if we could imagine humans as they are, I think the world would be a much less complex place. And yeah, the research that goes on would be a wholly different world. But somewhere there's been this like turn of the mind
and
expectation of what it is to be a male and female. And you know, men are the ones that ended up creating a lot of what is considered the intellectual property of humankind. And we have happily, as women, sort of sat back and let that happen because we have had to bear children and deal with all of that. It's a lot to deal with.
That is a lot to deal
with. So it's kind of like, okay, go ahead, guys, and do this. And they've been like, well, we're much more powerful than you because we can't give life, but we can certainly take it away. We can kill you, and we can, we're stronger. And so I think that this is sort of how society has grown up, quote unquote. So yes, things would be very different if women were ruling the world and ruling what's being studied. And definitely, I don't think there'd be any kind of research around pills and stuff like that, Viagra. I think there'd be more like, let's learn how to communicate and connect.
Okay.
I think that that would be the pill for women, is like, how do you connect? How do you communicate in a way that shows respect and honor and creativity with each other? And so that's really going to get a woman off. I don't think that as animals we are any different than we were thousands of years ago. It's like somewhere men had to start to become a little bit more creative around the way that they communicated to us. It wasn't just like, turn your ass my way and I'm going to mount you. You know, that stopped, you know, thousands of years ago. Women started to realize that if I have sex with you, I may die. So something in us sort of said, hey, you know, you're going to have to show me something more than that. And so, I don't know, it's still happening today. We still kind of expect them to show us a little bit more than just like, hey, I can, I'm cool. And, you know, they have to talk to us in a nice way. And in a long-term marriage or whatever, it's like, I don't know. Well, and women have to be gentle and kind. And there's, I don't know, I'm not an expert.
Well, it goes back to what Tanya Diamond said, where women need to be adored and men need to be trusted. So that goes full circle around, which it's about that time. And it's about time for a short break.
It's been a Julia and Caroline show up for the last half hour, which is great. I haven't had one of these in a long time. I've loved it. So what I must tell you at this point is that you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. That is the Lotus Land of British Columbia. So if you're on podcast, great. We're glad to have you. We'll be back either way for, I think we're still on Passion and Pleasure for All, aren't we? Like three-part series?
Well, we're on Sue Johansson and just talking about sex educators in general.
Education.
Whether it's Tantra,
Labia
whether
Majora.
It's you, or whether it's Sue Johansson. And yes, we can talk about lots of labias when we get right back. And we will be right back.
Well, life is for the living, and death is for the birds. Hell is for children. All have heard. Now your soul might leave your body. Hurled straight off into space. Your soul might leave your body. Oh, but we'll catch up again someday. I like Sunday mornings and butter on my toast. I wanna live forever, Jack. Forever like that friendly ghost. Won't live forever. Up again someday. New kingdom. New kingdom. Way down in the valley, look. The valley of the kings. They really got you. Good. Yeah, they really thought of everything. I hear the music playing. Oh, everybody jump and twirl. I hear the music playing. The blind and the lame and every boy and girl. Take you higher, higher than you've ever been before. I won't take you higher, higher than you've ever been before. Talking new kingdom. Well, life is springs eternal.
Oh, yeah, the AMS is good.
Join us at the AMS. Yeah.
The mission for AMS is organization to improve quality of educational, social, and personal lives of the students of UBC.
There are many ways to get involved, yeah. Start a club, volunteer, or work for one of your AMS businesses.
Yeah, please visit the website at ams.ubc.ca.
Okay, yeah.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Yes, yes.
And we are back.
We're back. You were listening to Juicebox. That was Soap and Water by Chuck Prophet, and it was I Can Feel Your Heartbeat.
Isn't a bad song.
Yeah, I liked it too. I'm trying to think if he's from New York City, Chapel Hill. All right, thought he might be Canadian. Sounded so Canadian the way he was singing. and so we're back to, I think, you know, it's been a bit of a haphazard show. So we're talking about Sue Johansson and juice berries before we do that. So, right, I guess mine would be the first one, which is the Juice Box Salon coming up. A very fabulous night. Sophisticated and sensuous entertainment with yours truly. So what I'm doing is sex ed like you always wanted it, but also interspersed with things like acrobatic acts and flamenco and burlesque dancing. I mean, can you imagine? Mm. So cool. And then it's going to be an extended intermission with lots of hands-on activities and a lot of surprises. Really, you're going to walk out in kind of a state of bliss thinking, wow, when is the next Juice Box Salon? So get your tickets before they sell out. Actually, I think they're almost half sold out.
Nice.
It's just over 3 weeks away. So definitely going to sell out. So if you're hearing this now, get your tickets for sure. And no, there's no friends and family deals this time because Julia actually needs to make more than $5 an hour, which is what I'll be making anyway. But I think I made $2 an hour last time. So this time I'm hoping to make $5 an hour. So no, there's no friends and family tickets. And thank you and bless you for buying a ticket if you are friends or family. I know it's kind of an awkward conversation, but... Yeah, and Juiceberries, what else?
We have got SIP coming up, Singles in Pursuit, the coolest, ooh, funnest, funniest singles party ever.
Where's this?
And this is going to be on February the 28th, which is a Thursday, at the Barry, I don't know how to pronounce it, GNYP, G-N-Y-P, Photography Studios, which is basically 70 East 2nd Avenue, and it's actually a really cool event. I think it's really neat. You can be the next contestant on the Dating Game Show, and it sounds pretty fun, so you get to check this out. There's all sorts of great prizes, like dinners for two, jewelry, and all this stuff, but the cool thing about it is not only you get to meet some really wonderful, cool, apparently they're planning to have over 100 good-looking singles there, so we might need to check that out. But you do that and feel good supporting blood cancer research because the proceeds are going to leukemia. So it's really cool. So
and there's something, what?
It's going to leukemia research. So it's pretty cool. You can meet some hot, sexy people and
have it be worth
and raise some money, have a few beverages and have a good time and possibly win a few things. So if you want to find out more information about that, you can basically go to daremprogram@hotmail.com. A friend of mine's actually throwing that one, which actually is a very, very, very cool event.
Okay, and I have
well
one.
As that. Oh, go ahead, keep going.
I forgot, but this lovely man I'm dating right now, who's mm-hmm. like so fabulous and knows about all these really cool things, he's taking me on a date tomorrow night at the Fox Theater. It's some kind of porn, old school porn movies being released at the Fox Theater tomorrow night. 2321 Main Street, so right by the Nirvana restaurant at Main, right by Foundation, whatever, Main and 7th or something, the Fox Theater. They have the Fox Cinema Lobby launch, and so I think it's kind of to help you understand that the Fox Theater is sleazy and fun, but also not so sleazy and maybe not so dirty, but actually a lot of fun. So come on down. Cinema Sewer is putting on a really sexy night of, I guess, old school porn. Very, very old school porn.
I'd be curious if Debbie Does Dallas is playing. I've always wanted to see that.
Cinema Sewer number 21, Refinements in Love, is a DVD release. There's Retardotron 2, which is also and Sleazy Slice number 2. So point is, bring a bit of a fabric if you want to put it down on your seat in case you're
a garbage bag might be better. And though with bed bugs rampant in Vancouver these days, I don't know if I'd want to be sitting in those seats.
But. Scabies have made a comeback as well, apparently.
Really?
I know some parents of young people I know have had scabie issues. Scabies are easy to kill, though. The point is, if you get them under your skin, that's a little bit harder to kill, but...
Great. Now that we've traumatized yours truly and we've traumatized our listeners, that's lovely. We've got one more Juiceberry, which is February 29th, which is the Chickaboom Room, starring the Burlesque Beauties, where anything can happen. This is going to be at the Caprice.
Anything can happen?
Anything can happen, according to them. And that's at 969 Granville at the Caprice Theater. And you can find out more information at info@burlesquebeauties.com, which should be pretty cool. There's going to be some great people that we know there. Hosts the show Madame Manhattan, and there's going to be apparently a live sex player, and come for some good old-fashioned sex appeal, humor, and fun and excitement. This live and interactive cabaret show will make you feel like you're right up there with the performers, and who knows, maybe you'll end up there with them. So it could be quite interesting.
Anal sex. Let's talk about anal sex for a while.
Yes, she was pretty...
Yes, because Sue Johansson talked... She did not like to talk about anal sex. She really had an issue with it. She was like, no, 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 no. Bad, bad, bad. But if you must, these are the things. Go to my website, read what I suggest, and read it together out loud, which I thought was kind of a good idea. Mm-hmm. Read it together out loud, and if you both have any questions, then you need to continue to research that, because... you're not ready to have anal sex. But one of the things that I... She called it fudge packing. She did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and it is true. It is the highest risk sex that you can possibly have, for sure. There's no question about that. Judgment or not aside, it is, you know, there's one layer of mucous membrane between your blood system and the shit and whatever you'll be putting inside of your rectum. And there's 20, for example, in a vagina. There's 20 levels of mucous membrane. So quite a difference, you know. The vagina is kind of used to being stretched and play with and run around and all these things. Anus, you have to be very, very gentle with it, very careful. Now, those people who have a lot of anal sex, I think they can kind of be, you know, more relaxed perhaps because they're used to it and their sphincters are relaxed and they know they already probably have a lot of lubricant going on in there and maybe they know to take a poo before they play around with the anal stuff. So, I don't know, I thought that was kind of an interesting part of her talk.
She actually scared me about that, about talking about the abscess, anus abscesses.
Like, yes.
That freaked me out and how you could end up in the hospital for 2 weeks.
Tears can become abscesses very easily. Well, there's a lot of poo in there and shit and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
a lot of
you know, fecal matter. So, yeah, have a poo first. Clean yourself up really well. Take it really gently. Use lots of lube, etc., etc. I did like her suggestion around reading, you know, some kind of sexual health website about anal sex and make sure that you know what you're doing before you start.
Mm-hmm.
Her thing about vaginal farts, I thought that was really strange that she was like, and the thing that we can do is we can have these and we can blow him across the room. She was like, I was like, wow. Wow, I was like, why do we want to make this something proud as a differentiation between you and me as a man, so or him and
well,
her? And
I think her point was just that we shouldn't feel so shameful about having them, was the big point. And men brag, or they do when they're children, about, hey, this is cool, I farted, So... It's one of those things where maybe we shouldn't feel so horrible about them because in their own ways they think they're kind of sort of cool, I think was her point. And there shouldn't be so much shame and stigma attached to it.
Vaginal farts do happen. I think if you're having them quite a bit, ladies, Kegels work really well. Just use your vaginal muscles to strengthen the walls, keep the air from just getting pumped in there. If they're happening frequently, it means that your vagina's become a bit slack, which I think can happen a lot when you get older. So,
I think
Sue Joe, I don't know. Do you have it? Depends on the
position.
Yes, but if you get pumped full of air in a certain position and you're very excited, it means your vagina's already quite open and perhaps. But I don't know in a room full of 18 to 22 year old people that vaginal farts are going to really be.
An issue?
No.
Hopefully not, unless
so
they're using
at
that.
Least she's not talking all about the vibrators and things, thank God. She didn't even mention them. So I was really happy about that because that's just all wrong. And do not use vibrators more than once a month, period. And especially when you're young, you should be learning to masturbate with your hand, not with a vibrator. So she didn't mention that. She brought up male sex toys, which I thought was very interesting. It's almost like she had read... I think I said this last week. It's like she had listened to the podcast that I'd given as a review the year before and changed everything in her talk to reiterate all the things that I had mentioned. It was very interesting sitting there listening to her talk because I've seen her talks and I saw her talks in the last couple of years at UBC. And then, boom, she just had changed everything that I had a huge issue with and was talking quite differently about everything. So I'm just glad it's happening.
And I'm how did glad. You feel?
It was good. I she was much better at dealing with the questions, but I think she can't read as well now, so she was not able to read the questions. And she got a girl in the front audience to read the question, and she couldn't read it very well. Hi. And she couldn't read it very well, so she ended up being very embarrassed, and it was a bit awkward, that whole situation. So she should just have somebody helping her maybe up on the stage. But, you know... I admire Sue Johansson for what she's done. I think it's time for her to find somebody to mentor, so that she can mentor to help her do all the hard work she's done and all the years she's done it to help to educate people in the ways that they need to be educated, and especially in university and colleges. They come here, they have had almost no sex ed, they're super horny, they're finally free from their home shackles of parent guidance and et cetera and control, and they're getting drunk, and then they're horny as to begin with anyway, and they have, you know, it's just, it's a nightmare combination, to be honest. So really, there's a lot of sex ed that needs to be happening in first year university. Sujo does a 1.5-hour talk, which just does not cover it. But she does a great, entertaining talk, and we did enjoy ourselves. I don't know. Learning about sex is very complex. She talked about that. She said that 4 times throughout the talk, which I thought was a very poignant message. Mm-hmm. Learning about sex, doesn't matter what age you are, is the hardest thing you're ever going to do. So sex education, not easy. Difficult thing to do. The hardest area of learning you'll ever have. Really? It is. So
I'd say sex and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah. It's the communication, too.
What were the questions? The questions were pot. He's like, my cock doesn't work very well at all. I smoke a lot of pot. She's like, honey, it's not the pot. Actually, she was wrong. Pot does have a lot to do with erectile dysfunction, but it depends on the situation as well. Who knows? Maybe he's not interested in sex because of the pot. But pot does have a lot to do with erectile dysfunction. It really is quite correlated. So if you smoke a lot of pot and you can't get it up very well or it goes away, it's because of the pot you're smoking a lot of times. Okay. And then she was asked about blowjob tips, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she did talk about blowing on it, which I thought was really cute. And taking your time, and don't be greedy, don't be Miss Piggy.
And try and get the whole thing in
there. Take the whole thing in there. I was like, well, there's Mr. Piggies around as well. But anyway.
My favorite was, where do I get a pubic hair curling iron? I loved that question.
And there's some Asians in the group that have very straight pubic hair.
When you just turned to me and said that, I just started cracking up. I think my mother had straight pubic hair.
Well, Asians do. Mm-hmm. Yes, Asians do have straight pubic hair. They have very straight hair, body hair, period. There's really no curl going on. So, yeah. If you don't like that your hair lays down straight, you can always trim it. Curling it? No.
Or shave it off.
Yes, shave it off. That could also be something. What else? She had some other funny questions. There were blue balls. Oh, this is where she really went wrong here. I had a really big issue. My biggest issue with her over the talk was around, pick up the phone and then press that flashing button. Oh, it's gone. They hung up.
Hello, are you on the air? They hang up on us?
Was around the blue ball. She called it lover's knots. And she said to women, your responsibility is not teasing him.
That bothered me a lot, too.
I was like, are you kidding me? She was saying, give him a hand job. Don't tease him. That there's power, so don't abuse it. And there was a couple of guys in the group that went like, woo, yeah. And I thought, there's the rapers in the group. Uh-huh. I was like, there's the men who feel justified in raping the women in the world. And I thought, wow, that was the worst information you could possibly ever say. Hey, guys, if you got blue balls, if you got some kind of like aching in your nuts, whack off. Masturbate, come, whatever it is, do not expect people, women, men, the lovers of you, to take care of your blue balls. If you have them, take care of it. And I think maybe some of the message in there for her was that don't tease him. I don't really know what that means as far as asking for rape to be okay, but, you know, men can always masturbate. So if you have blue balls, take care of yourself. Girls, if you're teasing and having fun, there's a lot of calls coming in.
It's muting.
Hello. Hi. Okay, yeah. Thanks.
What was that?
He was here, ask the boys to take care of their blue balls. But I just, I use, as a young girl...
We've got more callers.
I'm so... Okay, go ahead. Oh, there's those are issues. Honey, just pick the phone handle up first.
Sorry, Caroline's being technically challenged.
And then put that on.
You're on the air. Oh, you're not on air. You are now.
Okay, that's you're a patriotic American, you'd have red, white, and blue balls. Am I on the air?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. So I think science and technology will solve a lot of the problems about what you were talking about. The scientists are getting closer to the artificial womb, right? When a baby is born, it loses half of its brain cells just because of the compression of the head going down the birth canal. So when the artificial womb is invented, it will relieve women of a lot of the pressure about what you were talking about, the danger of childbirth, right? Like you were saying,
I'm not following you. I'm not following you. Hello? Are you on the air? Is this person on the air? Oh my god, there's like four calls.
I know.
Okay, we're having technical difficulties. I'm sorry.
And another caller.
Okay, so just push number three, yep. On air, yep.
Number three.
Okay, yeah, go.
Hello, you're on air. I think it's two, isn't it?
Yep.
Go ahead,
you're on
caller.
Juicebox.
Okay, right? Am I on?
Yeah. So what are you saying? Can you please be succinct, caller?